Blog Talk Radio.
Money is spent, a little bit of bag of food, and your baby need a pair of shoes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I tell you what you ought to do. Jesus can work it out if you let him. Diane Williams.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and we want to welcome you for another edition of D&K Bible Break. I am co-host Derek, and Miss Kay is on the line. Good evening, Kay.
Hey, good evening. Happy Monday.
We just want to send a shout-out to everyone that's listening to us, whether you're online or whether you call the phone lines. We just want to say good evening to you, and hopefully you had a blessed weekend and a and off to a great week on this Monday. We wasn't on last Monday. We need to take a break, and we just thank for those that did respond and want to know what happened to us. We just needed a day off, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the very beginning. First, we both would like to give honor to the Lord who's ahead of our life, give us the activity of our limbs, and put us in our right mindset. We also want to just thank the Lord for blessing us and waking us up one more day to see another day. We also want to thank our sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, Outback Steakhouse, and Brentwood Publishing. We just want to say a special thank you to them for sponsoring us. Also, we also want to send another thank you out. We wasn't on last week. We want to put a praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop Omar, and his wife, First Lady Pamela Zachary, for allowing us to do Easter Sunday morning.
Man,
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity once again to be able to be a blessing in the house of the Lord. So we just want to thank you for that opportunity. It was a great experience for me and my wife to be able to do Resurrection Sunday morning service. It was a great experience and really enjoyed it, and we really grew doing that. During that time, and just a special shout out to them for allowing us to share. Also, just so you know, the next couple months, D&K, we're on every Monday at 7. I just want everyone to know that's listening. There's some Mondays we may not be on just because of scheduling and because of trips we have planned throughout the summer. So I'm just letting you know, you'll hear me say it, but until we announce it, we'll be on every Monday at 7 p.m. But some Mondays we're just not going to be here. Lady K has some events she has coming up where she'll be gone for the weekend, and instead of trying to just put something together simple, we'll just take that Monday off. Then that's just in the near future, just FYI. And with that being said, before we get into today's show, Kay, is there anything you want to say I may be missing?
No, I can't think of anything that you're missing.
Okay. Well, now we're going to jump right into the show. Tonight, we're going to got a special guest on tonight from my hometown, Warren, Ohio. We have Bishop Noel Vaughn on. He's going to be our special guest. We're going to be talking to him a little bit about his book, about his church, about the vision that the Lord has put on him that's going on in the Warren, Ohio area. I've been knowing him, I'm going to be honest with you, since 1991, I believe, is when he moved to Ohio. And I've been knowing him ever since, when I was working at the Rebecca Williams Community Center, I believe is when I first met him. And he's been a good friend, a longtime friend, and paths before. We're going to continue to cross paths in the near future, just because I believe in what he's doing in the community. And he's just a great man to have on your team, someone to know, someone that you can call and get a prayer through. And again, like I said, I've been knowing him for a very, very, very long time. I watched him and his family grow. And it's just a privilege to be able to call him a friend of mine, a colleague. And without no further ado, I'm going to bring to your attention Bishop Vaughn. Are you there?
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Such an honor to be with you and your wonderful wife. Just thanking God to be a part of what God is doing in the ministry that he's given you. And it's a privilege. I thank God, amen, and just speak the blessing of the Lord over you too. And want to give a shout out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen, amen. And like I said, he's written a book on the Holy Spirit, and he also, his book is a guide, a workbook as well for college courses, if I'm not mistaken. And I just wanted to ask a couple questions just about the book. What made you write this book or put this workbook together?
Elder, I thank God. That's an awesome question. I was, real quick story, in 91, and knowing you has always been a blessing. Also, knowing your father, he was a mighty man of God, the news of God in ministry, and to see how you've developed and groomed over the year, been groomed over the years, is wonderful to see what God is doing in your midst. In 91, having moved by the Spirit of God here to Warren, I was led by the Spirit to come, and I started a Bible study. From a Bible study, we grew into a church. And after growing into a church, I was invited down in Columbus, Ohio, I was doing seminars, I was doing speaking at a number of events earlier often in my years in ministry. And as I was known, and getting known internationally as well as nationally, I was invited by a pastor, Dr. Jerry Fryer, to be a part of his church. And on a Wednesday night, I taught a Bible study down there. It was about 500 people. And as I began to teach the Word of God, the next morning he told me about a school that he had. And in the school, you know, he offered courses. It was a two-year program. At that particular time, it wasn't accredited. It's accredited now. The Ohio Dominican, and so you can get college credits for it, and everything's grown. It's very, very powerful. But he asked me to consider teaching a course, and the course was on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. So I took upon it this now back in the mid '90s, and I took upon it to go and be a part of that. And as I was a part of that, it developed. The school continued to grow, and it continued to develop. So the Lord had put in my heart I had been doing so much teaching on the Holy Spirit to do a book on the Holy Spirit and entitle it, The Holy Spirit, The Leader Within. The Holy Spirit, The Leader Within. And I've seen material on the Holy Spirit, but not a whole lot of material for believers really to get their hands on in a simplified way to make it simple so that any believer from any denomination, anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ can receive the gift of, the promise of, the gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So I endeavored to start writing the book, and as the class emerged into a credible class, they needed to know the books that the people were going to actually be reading from. And I had not written the book. Elder, at that time, Brother Derek, I hadn't written that book, man. And but I had an idea what I wanted, and I had notes that I was going to compile to put in it. And so I gave myself a challenge. I set a goal, a challenge, to actually finish the book before the class began the year before. So within that year's time, I wrote the book, The Holy Spirit, The Leader Within, inspired by the class so that they would have a workbook that I can teach from on a weekly basis. The class was a six-week class, so I actually divided the book into six chapters, and I began to teach out of it and make it a workbook so that it would be able to they would be able to be guided through in a very methodical way so they can get understanding on how to minister the Holy Spirit to others. And so in that short yet little long synopsis, that's how it came to be. You with me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
Okay.
You have any questions before I move on?
No. I was looking at your study guide. It looks like a great book for anyone who's interested in learning more about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit operates.
Yes.
So I'll wait till we get a little bit further, but I'm looking here, and you got a lot of information here. I do have questions, but I'm going to save those until I learn a little bit more.
Okay.
All right.
Can you?
Praise God. I'm just waiting on some of your questions. You know, and you know, throw anything out there. I know a lot of people. They want to know more about the Holy Spirit, and you know, one of the ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, it's interesting, Kay. A lot of people, in when it comes to the Holy Spirit, they have mixed thoughts about it. You know, some people believe,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, I don't need to speak in tongue, or I don't need the Holy Spirit. I have Jesus, or you know, and in one of the chapters I deal with that. You know what I mean? Some of the misnomers that are there. Well, the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking in tongues for those during that time, those kind of things. You know, and I dispel a lot of the myths. One of the things that Jesus taught right in the book of John, chapter 1, the Bible talks about how he was to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was sent. His work was to not only bring salvation to us, but also to lead us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that not only the church can be born, but we can be led of the Spirit to fulfill the assignment that God has put us down here on the earth to fulfill. So it is a necessity, based on the Word of God, to receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, glory to God, you can't be born again without the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit that brings you into salvation. But so with that, this book goes into a greater in depth in regards to that. We know we learn of the Father in the Old Testament. We learn of the Son in the merging of the Old and New Testament. And then the Holy Spirit is introduced in the book of Acts. We actually are still in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is yet moving in the earth realm. When the Holy Spirit leaves, when the church leaves, then, glory to God, the world will be in trouble. But now we are led by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is the acting representative here in the earth and will to be led of the Spirit of God. So, yeah, I'm open to any questions that you may have.
Well, I was, you know.
Go ahead. Okay.
The Holy Spirit, the Lord already said he left an advocate, a comforter for us. So wholeheartedly, yes. The Holy Spirit is live and well. So he lives. Just like the Lord lives, the Holy Spirit lives. So my thing with, if I can go here, I grew up kind of like Church of God in Christ. That's my background. And what I was taught is if I didn't speak in tongues, that I didn't have the Holy Spirit. That's what I was taught. You know, you tarry at the altar and you're doing all this and you're up there sweating, crying, doing everything. But what I've learned as I grew older, I have the Holy Spirit. If I don't speak in tongue, I still have the Holy Spirit because that is a gift. It's one of the gifts. So I don't want to be out of order, but that's my understanding because I know I have the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues, I haven't experienced speaking in tongues. So
does that mean
I don't have the Holy Spirit? That's what I was taught, that you didn't have it because you didn't speak it. So can you elaborate on that part a little bit for me?
I certainly will, and I'm glad that you brought that up because there's so many people that are confused. There's so many people that have been, you know, again, mistaught. And I want to say this, you know, because my background, too, is that of Church of God in Christ. And, you know, I thank God and praise God for the Pentecostal experience and for that experience in my life. We as believers, ministers of the gospel, normally are taught what we're taught. Our people culturally, you know, and the Church of God in Christ is the largest Pentecostal church, the largest African-American Pentecostal church in the world. Well, we're taught primarily from the teachers. And so with that, they taught a certain way in terms of tarrying and those kind of things. I believe in the laying on of hands. I believe you can tarry for the Holy Spirit, but, you know, it's a more efficient way to just lay hands on folk like they did in the New Testament. You'll find out many different times they laid hands on folk and they received the Holy Ghost. I believe, glory to God, you can get lay hands. In fact, I've laid hands on people that had tarried. They got frustrated. They were like, well, I guess God doesn't have that for me, and I had to show them in the scriptures. I showed them in the Word of God. I showed them what the Word said, the scriptures say. And praise the Lord, based on the Word of God, they were able to receive. And I laid hands on them, and the power of God came upon them. They began to speak in tongues. In fact, one of the powerful aspects of the ministry that God has given me from an apostolic aspect is the laying on of hands. Amen. I lay hands on you, glory to God, and you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there's times where the Holy Spirit sovereignly will fall on people. See, there's the laying on of hands, then there's a sovereign move of God where the Holy Spirit will come upon you. A lot of times when you're tearing at the altar, the Holy Spirit will sovereignly come on you, and you'll begin to speak. I remember ministering to an individual one time, and they were at home at night before they went to bed. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues. And the Lord led me to them to give them understanding, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of understanding what had happened and how they had received. So they were able to now go and say, you know what, I know of the proof, I have the Holy Spirit. Well, now getting back to the question that you have in regards to the Holy Spirit, there's being born again is being born of the Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit that actually ignites you or connects you with the Father, connected and made a part of the kingdom of God, having been born again. But in order for you to be endued with power, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Then you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, there's a difference between being a believer and a disciple. A believer is someone that believes the Word of God. Certainly you can believe the Word of God. Glory to God. The Bible says the devil is believe and tremble. But you can believe the Word of God. Then you move into discipleship. Discipleship is now being disciplined to study the Word. If Jesus said it in John chapter 8, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Not believe it, know the truth, and the truth that you know will make you free. Well, then he went from that, glory to God, to saying after you receive power, you'll be a witness. Now, not just you witnessing with your mouth, telling people about Jesus, but there's going to be power. That power that you have will cause you to, that signs and wonders will manifest as a result of what God will do. So now in the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you now receive the power. And the evidence of the baptism was the speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2. verse 1. When they received the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm glad you made a statement, and you said, I have not received that experience yet. And there's a lot of people that have not received the experience because some don't know that there is an experience for them. And then others, glory to God, they've gone through situations such as you, and they get frustrated and say, well, maybe the Lord, maybe that ain't for me. Maybe that gift is not for me. But you'll find out in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 all the way down to about 38 or 39. And again, I'm just giving you these out of my spirit. You'll find out that when Peter preached, they asked, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and receive Jesus Christ. They received Jesus Christ, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, all 3,000 of them at that particular time. The Holy Spirit came, filled them all. We know that during the account of the upper room, they were all assembled, and it was noised abroad. It's amazing. It was noised abroad because they were moving in the Spirit. They were speaking in tongues. And I believe that experience is for every believer. Now, whether it's the laying on of hands or it was a sovereign move of God, first of all, you must believe that you can speak in tongues. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe I can do it. Well, the Bible says, like, you can do all things through Christ's strength. Number one, then God is no respecter of persons. So why would he give you or me a gift that he would not give someone else? When it comes to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when it comes to receiving the gifts of the Spirit, which is a whole nother level because the Holy Spirit has gifts, you'll find out that in the Holy Spirit giving gifts is as he wills, not as we will. But that's a whole nother chapter and a whole nother teaching.
So let me ask you a question. Okay, so from my understanding, there are two times when someone speaks in tongues. It's either to edify when they're talking between them and the Lord, or it's to prophesy when they're speaking, you know, the Lord is giving you something to say. And then there's somebody there that's also going to, I don't want to say back
interpret.
It up, but interpret. There you go. So if those two times are the times that someone is speaking in tongues, see, I don't want to say I have an issue, but I've seen people and I know people in my inner realm that I've seen them speaking in tongues and I know their lifestyle, and then I can watch them leave right out of the church, and I'm like, whoa, how do you do all that in church speaking? And I'm like, but I'm not speaking in tongues. And I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but I just know the fruit is not matching the tongue that they speak in. So it's like a lot of unknown tongues that's going on instead of, you know, the word coming from the Lord. So I think that comes into place with a lot of confusion when it's time for people to learn more and to want to grow and learn more of the Lord when it comes to the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so let's jump in here with this in mind. First of all, we as believers, as saints, as believers, we can sin. I call that sinning saints. You cannot be a sinner and a saint, but you can be a saint that sins. Did you get that? So as a sinning saint, whether you are filled with the Spirit of God or not, you can sin. All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. Now, that does not give us permission to sin. Even Paul said that, shall I continue in sin? Well, wait a minute. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what are you talking about, shall I continue in sin? So you can fall into a sin realm. The Bible even says that. When you see a brother fall, all ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. So we know that you can fall into sin. So for us to look and say, okay, how can you have the Holy Ghost? And you're doing all that, you're talking, you're cussing at the same time. Because I know folk that filled with the Holy Ghost that have cussed. And I'm like, wow. However, it's the Holy Spirit that perfects in them the salvation that Christ Jesus died for us. You understand? So the Bible says judge nothing before the time, because there are times where we were in sin that God allowed us to grow and be groomed so that we can get out of sin. Do you understand? So with that in mind, we watch how God develops us. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that helps develop. Now, when you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, there is a difference between the gifts of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. By being filled with the Spirit, it is man talking to God. The gifts of the Spirit, it is God who talks through man to man. It is God who talks through man to man. Those manifestations are given primarily for a congregational setting, although they can be done in a private time, but they're primarily for a congregational setting so that you can see the signs and wonders how God moves. Normally, there's a person that is there to interpret. Those are the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. There are nine manifestations. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks on that, verses 7 through 11. It talks about the manifestations. There are three power of the power category, the power gifts or gifts of healing, special faith and working of miracles. Then there's the vocal categories. There's prophecy, tongue, and interpretation of tongue, of which you were speaking. And then there is the category of the revelation gift, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. So once you're able to understand that, and my book teaches on that, That's why if you're listening to me, get the book, order the book. The book will help you. So in terms of this, you'll be able to see that in these categories, these are now for public display, and these are given by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. You don't have you can't claim the gift. I got the gift of healing. I got the gift of miracles. No, it is the Holy Spirit that works through you. Now, based upon the office, the call of God that may be upon your life, God will use you in a greater measure, but is he who will give severally as he wills based on the word of God. So you can see, and a lot of people get that confused with speaking in tongues because they're like, well, how could you just speak in tongues and ain't nobody there to interpret? Well, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. When I minister by the Spirit of God, amen, elders, one of the things I always go to is 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. I ask people, do you believe the Bible? They say, oh, yes, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I say, well, do you really believe the Bible? Yes, I believe. I say, well, then listen to this. The Bible says in verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man but unto God. So if you're speaking to God, why do you need to understand what you're saying to God? God understands all language, so when you speak to God in the Spirit, you ain't talking to you. You're not talking to me. You're not talking to anybody that listens to you. You're talking to God. So if you believe that, glory to God, you speak in tongues not for your own edification, but God is going to hear what you have to say. Does that make sense? Because the scripture goes on to say this, howbeit in the Spirit, he has no his understanding is unfruitful. But he speaks divine mysteries and secrets. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 teaches based on the word of God that once you have these divine secrets and mysteries, the Holy Spirit will discern them and show you those things. Because the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. I'm getting excited, y'all. Woo, glory to God. Mm-hmm. God reveals.
I gotta jump in real quick. And don't read them jumping in because I have a lot of people want to respond and ask questions, and
okay.
I have to we're gonna go into a realm. So I'm gonna put it like this because I have a lot of people listening to my show, and I want to kind of keep it. Simple to for a minute, and the question I'm asking is when a person gets saved and they don't speak in tongues, are they saved? Because some people say, I'm not saying that you're saying it, but I want to clear the confusion up, and this one on your area, so you have to speak in tongues to be saved.
No. I don't believe that's biblical. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
I just want to clarify some things up because I don't want people to leave here with saying that we're giving out things that's not right. So if a person is saved and never speaks in tongues. And I just, because there's a myth out there, I've been hearing it my whole life, you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to, you're not saved. I've heard that a lot. And then on top of that, when you hear that, I've seen people speak in tongues, I've seen people prophesy, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesy, and they did it to me, and everything they told me wasn't even nowhere near remotely the truth. And then
okay.
I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay. And that's one part of it. Now, because I'm not saying, you know, if you don't speak in tongues or you speak in one way or another, but I think at some point in, as me being, say, 38 years, almost 40 years now, one
yes.
of the biggest, and I was hoping I didn't want to go down this road, but I'm getting a lot of messages about, you know, it's a gift. And a gift, if I give
yeah.
you a gift, whether mm-hmm. you receive it or whether you don't receive it, it's a gift of God. And once you
okay.
accept him, mm-hmm. you're in his mm-hmm. you're in his presence. You're in his you're on the team, as I can say. And
mm-hmm.
you know, there's some people who study the word daily, who live a life according to the word and
yeah.
and you see things, and there's some people who don't. And when you got people who speaks in tongues and have that power and that gift, okay, I can understand that. But there's somewhere along the line, I think that people think that if you don't speak in tongues or because you're a tongue talker, you know, now we want to divide religions. You know, these people think this, these people think this. And there's a lot of division
right.
going on in the bodies of Christ.
Right.
And me, because, mm-hmm. you know, the call God has on my life, I just want to see someone get saved. And my job
yeah.
is to see them get saved. And once they get saved, it's the Lord's and Holy Spirit job to do the rest of it. My job is
excellent.
To plant the
excellent.
Seed and get out of the way.
Yeah.
But when you and I really didn't have this written down to talk about, but when you
yeah.
have people who talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes,
yeah.
and I don't want to disrespect anyone, it gets complicated and people think that if you don't speak in tongues, like my wife, we've had this conversation years ago, and we continue to have the conversation, and
yes.
you know, I'm just using her as an example. I use her all the time as an example, but some people will say she's not saved because she ain't spoken tongues.
The devil
now,
is a lie.
She's heard it. I've heard that, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And now that she's, you know, she's my wife, course, and you know,
yeah.
you know, been knowing me for years. You know, I'm strictly
yeah.
by the book.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me to say that my, because she don't speak in tongues, she's not saved. That you know, and you
yeah.
know, the book Romans tells you, you know, that 10:13, all you call upon the name of the
yeah.
Lord and you shall be saved. And that's I guess
yeah,
that's
yeah.
my point.
Yeah.
And
so,
moving on, he gives us
yeah.
tools that we can fight the enemy with and give us tools
okay.
to be able to overcome certain things. Now, if you don't use your tools, it's like if you don't read your word, you know, you don't have
yeah.
no strength. If you don't have no strength, you become weakened. If you become weakened, it's very easy for you to backslide. Now, that's
right.
just the word of God. So if you
right.
are practicing
right.
or you are doing the things of God and you are speaking, okay, it's just – for me is to strengthen you up. But some people, not saying
right.
you, and I'm going to try to go a different way, use that, and I just don't want none of the listeners think that if they don't speak and that they're not saved. And then again, I don't want people to think
oh, yeah.
that if you're not reading the word and getting the word that you're going to be able to live in the world, because the Bible says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world, and we have to strengthen ourselves up by reading the word. Because the more we read,
yeah.
the more we learn, the better we can equip to handle the enemy. And
well,
but
one
some
of the
people,
things,
some people,
may
go ahead. I'm sorry, you know, go ahead. Because I'm talking too much. Go ahead.
May I jump in here? One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us, you know, all things. And because he's the teacher, he'll begin to teach. You know, you said something that I want to elaborate on a little bit, which is really powerful. In the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, and I'm saying this for any of the listeners, so it'll clear up everything in terms of it. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he won the whole city. When he won the city, he won them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached Jesus. He did miracles, signs, and wonders were being done. Now, Philip, by the way, was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he was preaching Jesus only. The whole city came out. The whole city was getting saved. They got saved. Even Simon the sorcerer gave his life to Jesus Christ. So I want to say that, yes, when you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, 10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him, the Lord Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth in the righteous. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's literally the word of God. So when you do that, glory to God, yes, you are saved. You are in the family of God. Yes, your sins are remitted. You are born again, a born believer, child of God, but blood washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, you're saved. Now, what God has done, and I like what you said, he's left you with equipment to win in this life. Now, here's a very interesting point. A lot of people forget this. But Jesus did not start moving out in the work that God had called him to until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 3, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, and when he got out of the water, he was led of the Spirit in the wilderness, defeated the devil, and came out working signs and wonders. Now, many people say, well, Jesus wasn't speaking in tongues. Well, there were accounts where there are things that were interpreted, like when the young lady was sick, he spoke a word. Eli, I can't remember all of it, you know, but when you go to that account, you look at it in Mark chapter 4, you'll find out that he spoke a word and the woman got up. So Jesus was being used of the Holy Spirit. Well, that same Holy Spirit God has given us. And one of the things I said, and I'll use myself as an example, that when I received the Holy Spirit, because once again, I had a Pentecostal experience. I saw people tearing. In fact, when they were speaking in tongue, if I may say, when I watched how people were speaking in tongue and they was knocking over pews and slapping folk and all that, I said, man, I don't want that. That whatever that is, I ain't for it. Are you listening? Well, later I found out through reading the Word of God that the Holy Spirit, not only being a gentleman, but listen, you can get so caught up in the emotions that you'll move in your emotions while you're speaking and get so emotional that people will think that you have to be emotional when you speak in tongues. Yet, when you go to the cash register and go to cash out, you don't get emotional when they're talking to them or even like I'm talking now. So you don't have to get emotional. The Holy Spirit, glory to God, will use you where you're at. Now, listen to this. So I said, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And the Holy Spirit, based upon Luke chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible says, ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father, I'm using scripture, your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. So it is the will of God for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, it is the will of God that you don't sin, but people do it. It is the will of God that you become born again.
I just got a couple things to run across, and I don't want to sound like I'm going against what you're saying, but every account that you give, it's in the Bible, but then again, there's other accounts in the Bible. When Jesus healed the lepers, you know, he didn't touch them. He just spoke to them, and they were healed. There was no touching. There was no speaking in tongues. He just told them what to do, and they were healed.
But he was already filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Right, but what I'm saying is, but when he healed them, I'm just saying you don't see the – yeah, we all, once we get saved, are filled with the Holy Spirit because it's a gift. And if you use the gift, fine. If you don't use the gift, you know, that I believe that's up for, you know, for the individual. You use as your gift. You speak in tongues. Then that's fine. But for some people, and like I said, when Jesus did the 10 lepers that was healed, and it was even against the law for Jesus, he just told them to go see the priest. He broke protocol, and it wasn't there. And then the thief that was on the cross, when Jesus was on the cross, and the thief that accepted him, Jesus said he'd be with him in paradise. The thief never spoke in tongues, but according to what Jesus said, and you know it's in the Bible.
Right.
The only reason I say that is because a lot of people will you know the same things that you're saying. And the same things that I'm saying, and it sounds like we're going against each other. And
no, we're not.
we're really not going against each other, but some people believe that. No. And to me,
right,
that's the trick of the enemy to have. This is why we can't
right.
never come. When I say we, I'm not talking about me and you. Churches can't never
right.
come together because of
right.
certain things. And I was when I was growing up, I hate to go back in the day, but when I was coming up, you know, women couldn't wear pants. They were forbidden to wear pants.
Right.
You know,
right.
for some reason,
absolutely.
They weren't allowed to wear pants. They had to wear skirts. Keep it. But now it changed. And I'm
right.
trying to figure out why was it okay back then, but now it's changed. And what happens is the word is changing, and it seems like it wants to fit. But the Bible says, you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So,
absolutely.
And now, even more so now, and you know, like I said, I really wasn't prepared to go down this road. Would you go ahead, Kay?
Okay. So can I just go to Acts 2 real quick?
Uh-huh.
I'm going here to get some clarity on everything we're discussing. So Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so everybody was saying, what are they doing and how are they speaking? The key there to me is they were speaking in other tongues. And it says that these tongues were what the other people could understand. So and you got a group here speaking in this tongue. So, but there was somebody that knew what they were saying. It wasn't like they were speaking gibberish or babbling. And they said they were saying they weren't drunk on wine. And it goes down to verse 17. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and so on and so on. And so he's going to pour out his spirit on everybody. So with that, the speaking in tongues, a lot of the times I hear people speaking in tongues and it's like, okay, isn't that? I go back to the interpretation thing. It's like where everybody is speaking in tongues, but shouldn't somebody know what you're saying? Shouldn't there be? I mean, I understand when you're speaking to the Lord. I understand that when it's between you and God, that's one thing.
Okay.
But you shouldn't just be rambling.
Okay.
It sounds like
so. Let's go back. Let's go back to the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, when He gave them the language. When He gave them the language, the Bible says very clearly they heard them speaking in their language. They said, how is these men that's from Galilee, from Jerusalem, how were they speaking in tongues in our native language? They knew that they didn't even study the language. Well, they heard them speak. They heard them speak.
Right.
So what God was doing was He was supernaturally allowing them to hear. They were saying, to interpret, because they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. They were just listening, but they were hearing them speak. So God had them speaking through the gifts of the Spirit so that they could hear it in their language. So now what I'm saying by that is that you're looking at another manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had come. They were speaking to God, but they also were speaking to men so they can hear. And that caught their attention. They said, these men are drunk. They were, because normally drunk folk babble and all that kind. So they were, and he said, no, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was spoken of Joel. And then he began to go down the line and talk about how the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh, and the sons and daughters would, sons and daughters. Romans chapter 8 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. See, not everybody is a son of God. Everybody is a creation of God, but not everybody is a child of God. That's a whole nother, I don't even want to go down that road as Elder Derek is talking about. You know, but nonetheless, when we talk about believers, it is a gift that can be received. See, the key is wanting to receive the gift. But if you feel like it, and there's a lot of in the body of Christ.
I want to receive the gift.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like I'm being penalized because I'm not receiving the gift. I feel that
no,
I just
no, no,
need
no,
to
no, no, no,
more
no,
time.
No, 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 No. And I don't want you to hear me, and listen as I say this, I don't want you to hear me as though you're being penalized. What I'm trying to say by that, because a lot of people, what happens is, and even, you know, sometime in our discourse, not to say you all or any, you know, either myself, but a lot of times in the discourse, it seems like there is a competition or there is a better than I, or I got this and you ain't got this kind of mentality that goes on. But that's not it. The Bible is a book. May I speak? The Bible is a book designed specifically so that we can learn to believe the Word of God, not for us to be able to fight. I know there's a lot of people that speak against speaking in tongues, and a lot of people, you know, they use the scripture to defend why everyone doesn't or everyone won't. Listen, you can if you believe you can. See, the Bible says, if you believe you can, if you want that experience, you can have that experience. God is not trying to stop anyone from receiving every good and every perfect gift that comes from him. The Bible says it comes down in the book of James. Comes down from the Father. So it's a good and perfect gift. The Holy Ghost is given for everyone to receive, but not everybody does, because some people don't believe they can, or some people believe that, okay, it's only for this group of individuals, or it's only for these particular people, but it's for everybody. At the day of Pentecost, it was everyone that was in that upper room spoke. So why don't they do this today? Because we have allowed division, and that's what the devil does, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He splits us up. We've caused division in the body of Christ. But, and now watch this. Does not mean that you're not going to heaven. Does not mean that you're not saved. It just means that now you'll have an empowerment here in the earth so that you can now go further forward in the things of God than you could without it. There were people that were there that they didn't have it. In the book of Acts, the 19th chapter, there were disciples. They were preaching Jesus. They were saved. Paul asked them, how were you baptized? They said, we were baptized with John. He said, John barely baptized the baptism of repentance. Then he went on to say, then he went on in the same scripture to minister to them. The Holy Spirit laid hands on them. They began to speak in tongues and prophesy. So it was an empowerment that he knew that they needed. The Holy Spirit desires that for everybody, but not everybody desires it for themselves. And then there's some people that would talk people out of it. But my whole thing is, if you want everything God has for you, God desires to give it to you. Do you understand where I'm coming from? And so in terms of what I teach you and in terms of what I'm sharing in the scriptures, because I'm going to give you scriptures for it. My whole thing is I've been quoting scriptures. You just read a scripture. And again, I haven't turned my Bible yet, because I thought I was going to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, which I did, and just kind of being led by the Spirit of God. Because even now, as you're talking to me and I'm listening to your questions, awesome questions, Elder Derek, awesome. Because, you know, again, as I listen to them, I'm led by the Spirit of God to be able to give you understanding. Even Philip, again, being filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, he went down after Samaria had received, because this was the other part I didn't finish. But when Philip had preached to Samaria at Jesus Christ and they received the Holy Spirit, if you go there in your book of Acts, you'll find out to be so. You'll go down and you'll find out that he called for Peter and John to come so that people would receive the Holy Ghost. Now, why would he call for them if it wasn't important for them to receive? When they received the Holy Ghost, we know the Bible says Simon heard them speak. So they heard them speaking in tongues, so they knew that they had received the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, Peter said, in verse 38, he said, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed with the devil, for God was with him. And as he began to preach, the Bible says the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them. In verse 44, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them, that's a sovereign move, that heard the word, and they all began to speak in tongues. They got amazed that these Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, because they heard them. They knew they had the Holy Spirit because they heard them speak. There are people that think that, you know, they may have one same thing, but they say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. And yes, you may have the Holy Spirit, but if you have the Holy Spirit, guess what? There is also the evidence comes through the speaking in tongues. So it's something, it's an experience that you can have, that you can do. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, when we talk about
that. I know we're getting pressed, and there's a lot that I want to say, but I have to get myself together, because, you know, reading emails and texting on my phone and listening to what's going on, you know, you kind of, it gives you a wild effect. But I guess I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to stay focused on a few things, because I don't want people to think that I don't want
one more question.
We're going. Well, go ahead.
Just a side question. Okay, so if I'm understanding what you're saying if you believe you can speak in tongues, the Lord will equip you, or it's already in you. The Lord will bring forth the gift of tongues within you if you believe that, if you want it.
Yes.
It's pretty much saying, if you want it, you can have it. And I know that you can receive it. Everything that we have in us, God has already equipped us with it before we were born.
Yes.
So, but if I want to be a great singer, I can want that all day long. It might not be in the cards for me. I don't know if just, it just seems like it's something that the Lord, it's not to shun anybody.
Well, no.
The Lord gives. Go ahead.
Let me say this, Kay, because this is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying. However, here's the difference. Here's the difference. According to the Word of God, according to the Bible, in Mark 11, verse 24, it says, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it." Then, as I quoted out of Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" So it takes an asking, believing by faith that you're going to receive, which is different from you singing. Because if you ain't got a voice to sing, you can ask all you want. It ain't going to happen. But here is based on receiving the Holy Spirit. If you ask the Father for this gift, He's not going to talk about, you're not talking right now. You don't sound right. And if you really listen to people speaking tongues, not everybody sounds alike. God gives you a specific language. It's a coded language, specific for you, so that you and He know the dialect. You and He know the language. It's not given for other people. It's given directly for you. And that's where a lot of people have misnomers. They think, okay, well, I should sound like this. You know, you can't teach anybody how to speak in tongues. It is the Holy Spirit that gives you the language. He gives you the utterance. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a very important point. You may not sound like me. It may start out with little gibberish. Didn't it start out when you were a child? The child would go, bah, bah, eh, 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 make it all this sound, and then all of a sudden it'd be ma, 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 dad, 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 dad. Then all of a sudden it'd be, "Daddy, give me the keys to the car. Mommy, can I?" So it was a development. The more you pray in tongue, you'll find out that you're. There's so much we can go into, amen. But Elder Derek, I know that, man, there's probably questions jumping up and all kind of stuff going on. But tell me, am I in my time, or where are we at?
We're really almost out of time, and there's a lot of that, you know. I probably have to have you come back, but it has opened up a can of worms, and like I said, I don't want to leave people. And this is part of the problem. Something that you can't open, but then again, you know, I'm old school. You know, this is a simple thing to me. Being a Christian, living the life is simple. It's not confusion. Yeah. When it comes to confusion, amen, that's when the devil gets involved in it. And one thing that I don't like is the confusion. And it's not saying with you, but just with the, you get people who think that if you don't speak in tongues, boom. Then you give the other side of that, boom. And what I've learned in my experience, and sometimes as men of God or women of God, you see things, and my wife made a statement, and you know, she's an awesome woman of God. She's one of the purest women I know, and I'm not just saying that because she's my wife, but everything that she's been through, it shouldn't be hard for her. If she hasn't did it, she shouldn't. And I'm not just, I don't want to, and this, let me say that, I'm using my wife as an example because I don't want to use anybody else. I can use her. It shouldn't be a hard thing to do.
No.
Her charitable work, it shouldn't be hard. She shouldn't have to go to a place or have an individual do a whole bunch of, you know, this, that, and the other for her to speak in tongues. And I'm not saying you, but there's been people who goes around, they're the perfect person to do this. If you're around me, you're going to and I'm looking at myself, and, you know, I like to think that I'm pretty knowledgeable in the Word of God, too. And if I sleep with her every night, why ain't she woke up speaking in tongues? I'm just saying, it's just... But it's just that simple. When it comes, because if we live our life the way we're supposed to live our life for Christ, everything that I know, everything that I've received, it was not hard. I made it hard because I went against the Word. And if you go against the Word, the Bible tells you what happens to people that goes against it. And I'm not disagreeing. I'm not agreeing. I'm just saying. As being a leader in the church, as long as I've been in the church, and I really didn't want to go down this road, it becomes complicated, and then the people that see it's complicated is the people out there that don't know. So you got some people on the fence that if you don't do this, then you have people on, if you do this, and it's like a game or a gimmick. Salvation is no game or no gimmick.
Yeah.
Either you are or you're not. And, you know, the Bible says either have you hot or he'd rather have you cold, but this lukewarm.
Cold.
And sometimes this is what bothers me, because when we counsel people who don't know Christ, some of the arguments that I receive is what kind of what we're talking about. That's not what I want to talk about tonight, but it just went that way. And maybe we need to have a platform. Maybe we need to talk about this more. Maybe we need to make it simple so people can understand.
Yeah.
And have an understanding of it, because it's not that hard, but we make
it
hard. And when I say we, church people, church leaders make it hard.
Yes.
You have Baptists, you have apostolics, you have Church of God in Christ, you have non-denomination, and everybody right. Everybody right. And when I say that, it's like, okay, well, if you come from a...
Bible says we'll all be right. It shouldn't be divided up in pieces.
Well, what we have done, and where we're going, and what we have to do in order for us, I can't speak. I have to just speak for where the Lord is leading us to go and leading me to go is keep it simple. And if you keep it simple, because I can't make nobody grow in the Lord. Only thing I can do is give them what the Lord has given me. It's the Holy Spirit's job. The Lord's job, he's going to do that. Can't no one make me grow. It has to be something that, like a personal relationship. It's personal. My pastor can preach all day long. If I don't take the time to study what he's preaching, it is going up against a brick wall. But what happens is we as people in the church, we listen to something, And we believe in tradition. And because tradition, this is what we ought to do. Because my daddy spoke in tongues, I got to speak in tongues. Because my mama did this, my daddy, this is what we got to do. But all through over the course of the years, and in my 38 years of being saved, I've seen more things change in the church. I don't care what denomination you're in. Things have changed. One point, women went around to wear makeup, now they're wearing makeup. And it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it wasn't right back then as right now. But if that's your choice, that's what you—that's on you. There's a lot of different things, and you can find anything in the Bible if you want it to fit what you want it to say.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher say the other day, it's okay that men cheat, and he had the scriptures in the Bible to prove it.
No,
I let my wife listen to it. And you know, that's how that goes. But, yeah, go ahead, Doc, and then I'm gonna, we got to get out of here.
Okay. And I so appreciate and love you all, and I thank God, amen, for the Spirit of God allowing you to present a forum like this so that people can hear. But I wanted to say this, you know, is that many people do many things based upon tradition. We were brought up, even in the Jewish customs, traditions and customs, were overtaking the purity of the law. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees in regards to that. So we know that that particular practice is been in the earth realm for you know, decades, centuries. However, my point is this, is that there's a purity in the Word of God. You know, when the Lord says it, when as God is sanctioning it, that we simply follow. And I just again, in terms of scriptures, I just know that He's given me the scriptures to be able to minister to people so that they can receive. Now, regardless of denomination, regardless of sect or gender, all of that, man, I've been used of God in this way. That's why I produced the book, for the benefit of the people and the people of God, so that they can grow into things of God. So it's never for debate, never for confusion. It's really simple. Amen. I just try to make it as simple as I can. That's my heart. That's the objective of that book. And that is even the objective of speaking and ministering to you all now. I have enjoyed myself. I feel the peace of God, the grace of God on my life. I speak it over the airways in Jesus' name to clear the air that God is love, and the Spirit of the living God is the Spirit of love. So because of that, glory to God, God is not the author of confusion. There's no confusion. It's just a matter of having understanding so that we all can receive God's very best. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, amen. We are, did you have anything, Kay?
If he want to give out his information on how someone, if they want to get the book.
Oh, okay, yes.
If you like to purchase the book, the best way online is to just DM Pastor Vaughn. I'm on Facebook, Pastor Vaughn. You can message me there, and you just let me know that you want the book. Give me a number or something like that. I'll get in touch with you, or people will get in touch with you so that you can get a book. You can also, if you write our P.O. boxes, 1341 Warren, Ohio, zip code 44482. Once again, that's P.O. box 1341 Warren, Ohio, zip code 44482. Our phone number is 330-766-8707, 330-766-8707. And those would be about the best ways in order for you to, again, get the book. It's called The Holy Spirit, The Leader Within. The Holy Spirit, The Leader Within. And certainly, glory to God, it'll answer questions. It'll give you understanding, insight on receiving, and also walking and being led of the Spirit of God. And that is, you know, the objective, amen, to be the best you can be for Jesus here in the earth realm. I believe that's what God has for us. So we thank God, and I praise God for your time. Thank you so much, Elder. Love you all. I support what you do in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God.
All right, that's Mr. Vaughn. What you didn't get the name of your church. What's the name of your church? Let the people know the name of your church.
Well, we was having such a good time. New Vision, and it's not my church. I don't have a church, but the fellowship, amen, that the Lord has given us is New Vision Christian Church Center. New Vision Christian Church Center. And I say that in love because, you know, again, I know that people think, wow, you got a church. But you hear that all the time. But there's only one church. Jesus Christ has that church. And, amen, praise the Lord. I like to tell people that we're just a fellowship body. And we fellowship through New Vision Christian Church Center, located at 2219 Todd Avenue in Warren, Ohio. New Vision Christian Church Center, 2219 Todd Avenue in Warren, Ohio. And I want to send a shout-out because you all will be with us. You're going to be with us on the 28th, the end of this month, and we're excited about that. Glory to God that you'll be with us, amen, and be able to share. And, amen, just fellowship. And we thank God and praise God for you and what God is doing in the ministry once again. Amen. There. So we praise God. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, we thank you for being on the show. Again, we will get you to come back in the near. We'll definitely have you back on. I always say that you have every opportunity to come back because it went in a direction that, you know, when I talked earlier, you know, I thought we were going another direction, but we went this direction, and that's okay. You know, the Lord does what he wants to do and leads and drives this automobile, and I'm not in control of nothing. And so I just want to say that. I just want to thank you for being on the show once again. I got to get ready to give my announcements. So we just want to thank Bishop Vaughn for being on the air tonight. We want to thank him and the listeners that he brought to the show tonight, all the listeners that would listen to D&K. We just want to thank you all for being on for another night. But we got another busy week for you this week. On tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary, Bible study. Bible study is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. You can hear the Bible studies. One of the leaders will be teaching Bible study on Tuesday night right here on Blog Talk. Same phone number, same website, same time. Also Thursday night, I believe they will be back. Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministry will be back this Thursday. If I'm not mistaken, they'll be back 7 p.m. on Thursday night right here on Blog Talk, same website, same phone number. If you want to catch them on Facebook Live, go to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. You catch them live on Facebook. Just a little shout-out, Bishop was on vacation, and he preached yesterday. I don't know what it was, what happened, what he ate, what went on, but he just seemed refreshed because he really,
amen.
I'm just sending a shout out. It was just, I don't know what it would, got me, just want me to jump up and just, you know, check my hands and stuff out, make sure, you know,
amen.
He just seemed refreshed. So I'm just putting a little shout out just for Thursday night. He's refreshed. He's ready to go to work. So I'm just letting people out there know, tune in Thursday night. And then, of course, again, on Sunday, 9 a.m., Praise Tabernacle Church will be on live 9 a.m. on Sunday morning right here. Again, for those that listen in on Sunday morning, I do apologize for the music part. We ain't got that sound right yet, but we working on it. Just bear with me. So Sunday, I might do something different. I might start Blog Talk at 9:30 to hear the message, because I know people get discouraged when they hear the music and it's overbearing. So this Sunday, we may just start just when the preaching comes on until I be able to get this sound thing worked out. I just don't want to keep having people complain about the sound when the music is being played on Sunday morning. So that's something that be looking for posts and emails that I may send out, that we may start 9:30 to hear the message on Sunday morning. I would like to get the whole sermon, but I listened to yesterday in the music part. The quality of the sound was not good, and if the quality isn't going to be good, we don't want to put out a bad product. So I'm addressing it. We're going to try to work it out, and hopefully we have it fixed by Sunday. But if not, we'll start at 9:30, and you'll hear the word part of Sunday service. That's my only announcement that I have. Another thing I want to say, that's on Sunday. That's our weekly schedule. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night for Bible study. Again, I want to thank Bishop Vaughn for his time tonight with talking about the Holy Spirit in the book. And you can go to his Facebook page on Pastor Vaughn. If you just type in Pastor Vaughn, you can get his Facebook page. And if you didn't get all the information he put out, just go to his Facebook page, reach out. He definitely reached back to you. I'm supposed to be speaking at the church on the 28th of April. I normally don't like to promote myself going out to preach, but after listening to the message yesterday, you know, the Lord is opening a lot of doors for me and my wife. We got a lot of not just me, my wife is booked from now until the end of the year. She's just booked. And she has prayer breakfasts and trips she's going without me and just retreats and stuff. She's just going to be gone. So pray for me that, you know, I can lend my wife out, that she can be a blessing in other places and doing other things, that she also gets refilled. But, you know, listening to you tonight, why, you're a bad woman. You bad. I like you. You bad. You hold your own. You yeah, I like that. Born again and delivered. That's what bad stands for.
In the Lord, just like to grow in the Lord.
So you're a bad sister. I'm going to come holler at you in a little bit. Come holler at you. You may have to go out.
Stay focused. Let's stay focused.
You have to go out.
Let's do Saturday. You didn't mention Saturday and Sunday too. So can you let
what's
everybody
Saturday
know about those?
Sunday?
Spiritual Sense
okay.
Life and
I done forgot about them too. I didn't start thinking mm-hmm. got wild from my wife mode on myself. Yes, Saturday since Spiritual Sense of Life. With the overseer, Timothy Jackson, to be on Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time, out of Dallas, Texas. Also on Sunday, we have Elder Bazaar at 5 p.m., Watchmen on the Wall at 5 p.m. on Sunday. And they have been, Elder Bazaar and the overseer, Timothy Jackson, they've been collaborating together teaching on the end times on Sunday. So you don't want to miss that. That's Sunday at 5 p.m., Watchmen on the Wall, and Saturday, Spiritual Sense of Life on Saturday. Don't forget tomorrow night our Bible study, Praise Tabernacle Bible study. I won't say ours because I don't want people emailing me. Praise Tabernacle Bible study will be on at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
What?
Man.
What? Oh, I thought, did I miss anything else?
No, I said get that good
word. I
want to
say,
be there
tomorrow. Yeah, definitely be there for Bible study. I got to send a shout out. I just got a text from my son. He just landed back in Baltimore. And I just want to, he spent the weekend with me this weekend, which was a much needed weekend for me to be able to hang out with my baby boy and to fellowship and to joke and laugh and go bowling and golfing. And I want to especially thank the pastor's kids, Zach and Omar for going golfing with us, and Deacon Lee. It was much needed. And sometimes your presence can minister more than opening up a Bible, saying scriptures. Just the presence of somebody that is walking with the Lord, just the presence. And I'm just going to leave it at that. It was a great, great time we had yesterday at the golf course. And the Lord is working some things out. That's all I'm going to say. He's working some things out in areas that need to be worked out in. And sometimes when you're around the saints of God, their presence being there means a lot. It means a lot, and it makes the devil mad. And that's what happened yesterday. The devil got mad. And stuff starting to happen. I feel like preaching now, but I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to go and mess with my wife a little bit. So for those that are here, wife, you can take us home because I'm not in the right mindset to lead us out of here. So
yeah,
go ahead and take us home with prayer.
Pray for him, y'all. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight just thanking you for everything you've done. We pray that the words that went forth on tonight were nothing but edifying and lifting up to you. We pray that the words that were mentioned tonight, no confusion, no division or anything in your word. We thank you for the man of God that was on tonight. We thank you for growth. Thank you for allowing us to learn and go a little bit deeper in you, to, you know, rightly divide the word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for what you plan to do in the future. And we ask that you continue to bless us throughout this week. Let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, thank you for being our strength. Thank you for being our redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.